Welcome to Sports Look. Great to have you with us on a Thursday afternoon, well, now early evening, as the basketball seasons and wrestling seasons continue. A lot of things to cover, and first thing we got to cover is tip of the hat to our great Sport Look sponsors, Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, and Exchange Bank. Gus, the sports schedule continues to be packed. I mean, if there's games, we're having games, and we're right back at it tomorrow night. We're going to travel up to MHMA, as it'll be NEKL basketball. Jeff North at Marhill Mount Academy tomorrow night on Care Radio. Saturday afternoon in Canton, Missouri, we'll be joining Benedictin at Culver Stockton. 2 o'clock for the ladies, 4 o'clock for the guys. Next Tuesday, right back with those Ravens. How about that? At Oskaloosa. And then Wednesday, Mid-America comes up to the Nolan Gym, and it'll be Benedictine and the Pioneers. Wow, don't even know hardly where to begin, as we've had so many games and there's so much going on. And if you can't find a game to go to right now, you just haven't tried very hard.
Let's say you're just not looking hard enough, right? I mean, there are even a few games that are going to happen this evening because, again, all these teams are scrambling around trying to get some of those games that got snowed out a few weeks ago in because, again, every coach wants that. Those games counted towards a record for not only sub-state but hopefully state for some of these teams.
How come the teams I was on, we didn't want those games counted?
Yeah, that's probably, you know, I was there too. I understand.
There's some of that. Well, tonight, we're going to have some Big Seven hoops. Perry LeCompton is going to go to Holton tonight. Royal Valley is going to travel over to Nemaha Central. So you got that going on.
Last night, we had high school basketball in the area as Oskaloosa played Pleasant Ridge. And on the ladies' side, Pleasant Ridge came away with a 54-46 victory. And on the guys' side, Oskaloosa, a 62-37 win there, so a little bit of a split down there.
Yeah, I've seen Oskaloosa play a few times, and I tell you what, Gus, Coach Ruckel has them playing really, really well right now. They're doing a good job. But if you are also, you know, wanting to check on what the grapplers are doing, it's Thursday, you know what that means? There's wrestling all over Kansas, and you're going to have the Riverside Invitational going on this evening, the West Franklin Invitational tonight.
I've been to West Franklin.
How'd you like it?
Can I tell you, I could get you to West Franklin I could get you to some places.
Maybe, right? Maybe. But yeah, the Royal Valley's got a quad going on tonight. And of course, at Effingham, it's the ACCHS Invitational. So you've got tons of stuff going on around the area. Marhill Mount Academy is going to be out at ACCHS tonight, by the way. And just to round it out, if you don't have a quad or an invite to be at Holton, they're going to go down to Tonganoxie to wrestle. So you've got all that going on in wrestling tonight. Friday night, it is a full high school hoops slate. How about Hiawatha at Perry, Nemaha at Holton, Jeff West going up to Riverside, Royal Valley's at home with Sabetha. You're going to have other teams around the area like Jackson Heights going to ACCHS Friday night. Valley Falls will be at home with Horton. JCN, of course, the game we'll have here on K-Radio at Marhill Mount Academy Friday evening. You've got McLouth playing host to Pleasant Ridge, and a bit of a roadie. How about this? You've got Marysville. They're going to go out and see the Cowboys and travel out to Abilene. Of course, all of those also are boys and girls matchup, so you've got that. And then there's even going to be some Friday night wrestling with Jeff West at Onega, Horton at the Onega Invite also, along with Pleasant Ridge and Atchison. So all of those schools are going to head out to Onega for a little Friday night wrestling. You know, it's about this time we start looking around, and you know the coaches have been doing it, Gus, and certainly a lot of the fans are also looking around at, well, you know, some states are going to be here pretty soon. Here we are. It is February. It is moving month, and you kind of wonder how are the teams that we follow or that you're following, how are they doing? Where are things shaping up? We're going to start with a little bit of the bigger schools and look at what's going on right now in Class 4A, where the Phoenix girls are at 5-5. They are just about dead center of the pack. You'd think 5-5 is about in the middle, and you'd be just about exactly right. Fort Scott girls and Wamego's girls, the top two teams in the state at 13-1 and 12-1. Bishop Miege right behind them at 10-2 with Eudora, Parsons, Ottawa, Labette, Baldwin, Independence, and then Atchison checking in at 5-5. So that's how 4A is shaping up in the East's half on the girls' side. Going to the West side, Wellington, 13-1. Notice there are no undefeated teams. And McPherson, Circle, Clearwater, those are the top teams in Class 4A on the girls' side. Well, flip over and let's see if we can't just stay with girls' ball right now and kick it down to Class 3A. Well, now you're going to be talking about, you know, sub-states. You don't have that east-west thing. You have the sub-states. And looking at the games or the teams from around here, the ones that are going to be playing at the Royal Valley sub-state, Hayden is the number one seed. They are way out in front of everybody at 12-1. Merritt and Jeff West. Jeff West is 6-6. Perry is 5-6. ACCHS 3-8. Then it's Sabetha 3-10. Hiawatha, Royal Valley, and Bishop Ward. In the 3A sub-state, that's going to be at Riley County. Silver Lake is 13-0. They are so good. Rossville is great, also at 12-1. Nemaha Central having a super season at 10-2, and also double-digit wins for Minneapolis. So those are the four top seed teams in Class 3A girls, as we're just kind of taking a little look at some of the sub-states and how they're lining up already. Because you know everybody's looking at them.
Yeah, it's just that time of the year, right? We're into moving month. We are far enough along. We're kind of into that last third of the season that we talk about, as it is time for sub-states and things like that. So, yeah, I mean, everybody's kind of crystal balling it. And I would say probably not so much this week, but here in about 10 days, people will start saying, okay, so it looks like we could have X. You know, I mean, they're going to start trying to fill in that bracket and get an idea of how their bracket's going to lay out.
Yeah, been going down through the girls, and we're down out at Class 2A, where are you checking on that Meade substate, or should we just go ahead and talk about the JCN substate?
I think you could just go straight to that JCN substate. You know, I've got the Meade one memorized already, so I don't need to talk about it.
Well, you don't have to think real hard about who's going to be the top seed in the 2A JCN substate. It's Riverside, 14-0, they're just waiting for a bump in the road. Morehead Academy hopes to provide that, as they are the number two seed at 10-2. JCN is right behind them in the third spot at 9-3. Pleasant Ridge is 8-4. Then you've got Oskaloosa, Horton, Valley Falls, Care Paravel Latin School, and McLouth rounding out that 2A Jeff North substate. That's going to be an interesting substate, because there are a lot of good teams packed in at the top. Here's the thing. If I'm a good team, again, we've already established that I've never been, but if I were, man, that it's tough when you get into this time of the year. I don't know. If you're a player, are you worried about ever losing, or are you just thinking, I'm going to beat everybody?
Yeah, you just think you're going to beat everybody.
So it doesn't even enter your mind.
No, I mean, every once in a while, you're going to start thinking of a team. You're like, I don't match up well with that team, but I'll still beat them, right? I mean, I think at the end of the day, you're just like, all right, let's line them up and go.
Well, you go also to kind of getting over to the boys' side here. I got to click over to that, unless you're probably better at that.
So where do you want to start?
Let's go to 4A. That's where we started with the girls. Let's go to 4A and start there with the guys. What do you say?
Yep. So in Class 4A on the guys, it's going to be Atchison and Rock Creek, both at 11-1. You've got Baldwin at 11-2, Fort Scott at 11-3. So you start to extrapolate that out. Right now it looks like Atchison's going to get like a Payola, and Labette County, and Eldo. I mean, somebody like that at this point.
It'll be one of those top four teams all with 11 wins and the fifth team with 10. I got 10 wins and I'm the fifth best team. That's brutal.
Yeah, so if you're starting to wonder about like a team like Rock Creek was going to say St. George. They're going to play Rossville a couple times, Riley County, Maryville, St. Mary's, and Chapman, Silver Lake. So, I mean, they've got some tough games left on that schedule because you've seen Rossville this season. I mean, they're a team who can line it up with you pretty well, too.
You better be pretty good if you think you're going to beat Rossville. I'm going to tell you that right out the gate, okay? They are really, really good. Going to, by the way, in 4A boys on the west half of the state, hard to get better than the Bullpups, 13-0 right now. Circle is 12 wins, 11 for Hugoton and Abilene, 10 for Andale, Pratt, Wellington. So there are some very successful teams in the west half of the state right now in 4A.
Jump down to Class 3A, the boys sub-state at Royal Valley. The one seed right now, Sabetha. They're 11-2. In the two spot, you're going to find Perriott-Lecompton. I think we know where 1 and 2 are going to be. Maybe not sure which teams where, but I think that they're going to be the top two because then you have a drop-off to Ward is 3 right now at 6-5. You've got Jeff West at 5-7, then Hiawatha, Hayden at 4-9, Royal Valley at 3-8, and then ACCHS rounding out that Class 3A boys sub-state at Royal Valley.
Yeah, so what you got going on here? Sabetha's home, Perry's home. But you got Ward, Jeff West, Hiawatha, Hayden, really all battling for those last two home berths.
Right, and that's a big deal, right? Because you're going to get, yeah, that one home game before you go to Royal Valley. Now, I would also argue for a team like Hayden, Royal Valley's a home game.
Yeah. I mean, it's 5 miles.
I mean, seriously, like from their campus there on Gage and 75 to just right down the road to Royal Valley. I mean, that's going to be a nice little sub-state for them. So, yeah, I think it'll be an interesting sub-state there in Class 3A.
That 2A boys sub-state that's going to be a JCN. We talked about the girls sub-state there, the guys. Horton, how about the Chargers perched firmly on top at 11-2? MHMA is in second spot at 7-3, but they're not in second by far because it's 7-4 Valley Falls, 7-4 JCN, 7-5 Oskaloosa, 7-6 Care Paravelle. So you have got five teams essentially tied for second place. You could be second, you could be sixth.
Yeah, you know, that's one of those, I don't know. You start talking about sub-states, I always kind of start looking around and find out there's going to be a sub-state or two that's just loaded up, and then a sub-state or two that somebody's going to get in that probably doesn't deserve to have their ticket punch. This JCN one is, you know, pretty good one.
Yeah, and unfortunately you're going to have some teams with a pretty good record who are going to make a road trip in that first round of the sub-state. And right now the battle is on between McLeod, Pleasant Ridge, and Riverside for the play-in game to get into the JCN sub-state.
You know how you were joking a minute ago about the Meade sub-state?
Yeah.
Look at that Meade sub-state, though, on the boys' side.
Okay, I'm looking at...
maybe like the third one down.
I got Sterling is 13-1, 11-2 for Meade, 11-2 for Medicine Lodge.
Last place in that division is 500.
Okay.
7-7 is the worst team. I mean... at 8-6 and 9-6, you're going to go on the road for a game. I mean, that's tough.
All right, did you took Kansas history and stuff in high school? Wasn't that a requirement at
the
time? Okay. When I was in school, it wasn't quite a state yet, so we didn't even have history.
I know.
But let's look at that Meade sub-state. Sterling, Meade, Medicine Lodge, Syracuse, Stanton County, Ellenwood, Leote, and Sublette. How many of those can you drive to without a map, right, and not make a wrong turn?
Not many.
How many of those have you been to? You've been to Sterling.
Yeah, so been to Sterling.
You've been to Ellenwood.
Been to Ellenwood, and I would say that's about it.
That's about it.
Call Father Meinrad. He can get me to Leote.
He has been to all of those. He knows every one of them.
So, but yeah, I mean, that's what, it's kind of fun not just to pay attention to your own sub-state, but look around at some of these other sub-states. Get an idea of the geographic footprint. You like the footprint, and we're going to draw that back in here, but how they came up with some of these and just how good some of these sub-states are.
Yeah, and again, Pleasanton, Linden High School, they are 14-0 right now. We mentioned Sterling is 13-1. Mound Ridge is 10-2. You've got St. Mary's Colgan. We know our good friends down there. 13-2 are their guys. So doesn't that follow? We talk about this all the time. You got good athletes. They play multiple sports. They're good at all of the sports. They were great in football. We went down there for that playoff game, and here they are on top of their sub-state rankings right now, 13-2 in basketball.
Yeah, like Class 1A Division 1, the Oberlin Decatur sub-state. So you have a team at Quinter at 11-2, okay?
Uh-huh.
Second place team is Atwood at 5-10. Right. So, I mean, those teams are 5-10, 4-9, 3-10, 1-14, 0-11. So, I mean, that goes to show you that's the flip of it, that there are some with one team and that's it.
And now this is how my mind works. One of these well under 500 teams is going to be playing in the sub-state championship. And one sneeze, and you go to the big show.
How many times do we talk about it, especially in basketball, right? Like one hot night, and all of a sudden you're talking about a team that everybody counted out, and all of a sudden they find themselves making that run to the state tournament and maybe even deeper.
Yeah, worse than that, one cold night, and a team that's fantastic puts the stuff in mothballs again.
How many times, especially in basketball, do you see
it's basketball
that the best team doesn't always win?
Absolutely not.
So I think that that's maybe the fun of basketball, is that any night somebody can go out and you're just like, didn't see that coming, right? Like, I mean, I feel like we look at that all the time in whether it's high school or college basketball, and you're like, yep.
Yeah, and it's the night after night. I mean, it's hard to come back, go out and win 3 games in 4 days. I mean, that's tough business, you know?
Yeah, I mean, and that's why I used to like the NAI National Champion or National Tournament until they made it easy. You like that? I mean, but it was turnaround. Like, the only time you had a day off is if you were going to play
day one,
and you wouldn't have to play again until day three.
Yes.
But if you had to play day two, you were playing day two, day three, day four.
Uh-huh.
You got off day five because it was Sunday, and then you were going to turn around and play maybe a Monday, Tuesday.
Yes.
You know, I mean, that was fun, okay? But you see less of that now.
Well, my suggestion is get to mscsports.net. Make sure and check that on the right side, the very current schedule. That thing is kept up to the minute. Find your team. Find your location. Get to those games because you're down to the last month, man. Moving month.
Exactly. Get to those games because, again, don't say, oh, I'll do it tomorrow, because, again, there aren't many of those games left right now.
Five. Basically, for most teams right now, you're down to five to go. Six. Hey, we're taking a quick break. We'll be back. We got tons to talk about. Sport looks rolling on Care. Back with you here on Sports Look. As Gus, last night, the Benedict and Lady Ravens, let's just say it, they're playing really good basketball, okay? They've been playing great. They took on Missouri Valley last night, winning by 14-70-56, and I tell you, they're going to be tough. They're going to be a tough draw in the tournament. Kennedy Nicholson is playing as well as any of them. Another 17-point game last night. Hit shooting lights out, 6 of 10, 3 out of 5 from outside, perfect at the free throw line, and just one of an entire team. Everybody's playing really well.
Yeah, you talk about this Lady Ravens team, and right now they are on a roll, but 2, 4, 6 games in a row, right? They lost to start the January, so to start 2024, they beat Park, then they lost back-to-back games at Mount Mercy, at Mid-America. This team hasn't lost since January 17th, and that included road trips to Peru, Clark, Penn. I mean, Clark is the defending national champion, and their only loss so far has come to Benedictine. I mean, this Lady Ravens team is just kind of on a roll right now. They're starting to put some things together. Last night, they got behind a little bit, right? You were down, what, two points at the end of a quarter. You were up by half. And then, I think for me, the thing I really liked about last night, that fourth quarter, right? That's when they just blew the doors off of that game and said, hey, we are that much better than you guys. Outscored Valley 21-12 in that fourth quarter and go on to get their 15th victory of the season. They're 13-4 in conference play.
Yeah, and you look around the conference last night, there were a couple of one-sided games. Mount Mercy rolled Graceland by a big score, and, of course, the Lady Ravens winning by 14. But after that, it gets pretty tough. Central Methodist, a three-point win at Baker. You had who? You had Clark in an overtime win with Culver Stockton. Culver was leading that thing right all the way down, man. And Clark escapes at home, 73-70. And then another overtime game is Mid-America. Had to come from behind at Peru to take a win again in OT. So this conference, there's nothing easy about this.
Yeah, and I think that right now we're starting to see a few teams really come to life here since the mid part of January. Lady Ravens, I think Mid-America right now is probably playing its best basketball of the season, right? They were one of those teams.
I'd say they've hit their stride.
Yeah. Yeah, early on in the season, we were like, wow, what's wrong with them? But now all of a sudden, they've hit their stride. I think the one team that's kind of surprised me, and maybe other coaches or maybe everybody's just way smarter and knew this team was coming, Mount Mercy, right? I did not see Mount Mercy sitting in that four spot at 12-6 right now. They're 14-7 overall. They beat the Lady Ravens earlier on this season up in Cedar Rapids. I mean, they're a team who's coming on. So, again, this stretch run is going to be a lot of fun.
And you've got a stretch run that means something to a lot of teams. First of all, Clark, you mentioned 16-1. Grandview, knew they'd be good. I didn't know they'd be 16-2 right now. Benedictine in third spot at 14-4. Double-digit wins also. You mentioned Mount Mercy. They're 12-6 in fourth spot. 10 wins for Mid-America at 10-7. And then there's your line right there with 7 wins, 7-10. Central Methodist, Park, Missouri Valley, Culver Stockton, Graceland is 7-11. Peru is 6-12 right with them. The only outliers right now are Baker and Penn. And three teams don't make the tournament. There's going to be a couple of them, I think, right there.
Lady Ravens have 6 games left, okay? Some of them are hard.
Oh, yeah. There are no easy ones.
Like, well, pump the brakes there. I've got 2 easy ones, okay? But they're going to go to Culver Stockton, which is a team who almost had Clark. Then they're going to be home with Mid-America next Wednesday. They're going to go to Park the following Wednesday. That's kind of my easier game. But that gymnasium, I guess, is kind of funny. It's sometimes tough. You're going to get Mount Mercy and Grandview in back-to-back games and then finish at Graceland. So the at Graceland game, the at Park game are kind of, I'm going to go ahead and chalk those up as W's. But at Culver, home with Mid-America, home with Mercy, home with Grandview, I mean, those are going to be tough games. Not that they can't win them because they've already beat Grandview, Culver, Stockton. They've lost to Mount Mercy and Mid-America. So, again, you're going to need those games, especially when you're sitting at 16 wins. And, yeah, I mean, you just probably can't drop very many games from here on out.
No, you're going to have to continue to play well. But, again, that's what you got going for you is that you are playing really pretty well right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, interesting, again, 6 games left in the next 3 weeks for Benedictine, and then suddenly in 3 weeks the regular season's over. It is coming fast. Do not miss a game, and your next home opportunity is going to be a peach, man. Next Wednesday, Mid-America coming to town. You got to come up to the Nolan for that.
Let's just say everything froze as it is, okay? And we were to start the postseason. Benedictine's going to get Missouri Valley again, right? I mean, that's one of those teams that kind of plays you tough and plays physical. But I'm telling you, Central Methodist is one of those teams right now who's 7-10. I don't think a lot of the upper echelon teams really want to see that team because, again, you just don't know which one's going to show up. But I do think that right now this conference is those upper teams and then kind of the field.
Right. You talk about, you know, you talk about Missouri Valley maybe getting to play them again a second time in the tournament, having played them last night. Well, Valley's got a bunch of athletes, okay? And what they've also got, the leading scorer in the conference, she's averaging just a skosh under 27, 19.8 or something a game, and just can absolutely light it up. So they can put some points on the board. You gotta play some pretty good defense if you're going to win that game. Tell you what, taking a quick break. Back with more Sports Hook here on KARE. The Benedictine guys last night, Gus, they've been spoiling me. They've been playing so well. They played so well last night. They come into the game on a four-game winning streak, and I've got to admit, in that game, right down into the last couple of seconds, thought they were going to win it. I mean, they were that close. It was nip and tuck with a very good Missouri Valley team through the entire game, and end up dropping a two-point decision. The Raven guys are, and Coach talked about this in the post game, and we've been talking about this for a while. This team is not the team you saw. If you were there a month ago, these guys are nothing like that. They are so much better.
Yeah, they're so much better. They actually, that loss right there broke a little bit of a win streak that they were on, a four-game win streak. But you talk about that game last night. I'm going to tell you, in the first 10, 12 minutes, Benedictine kind of played that game the way they were wanting to. Valley had that little bit of a run right before half, right? And that was the one, I think, that really kind of got them up by seven. Benedictine played well in the second half, but just wasn't able to overcome that run that Missouri Valley put together right to end the first half.
Free throws are the key of that game last night, no question about it. BC went 8 of 15. That's not really good free throw shooting, but compare the total numbers. 8 of 15, Missouri Valley was 21 of 26. Okay, got outscored by 13 at the free throw line, and you lose by 2.
Yeah, and that's one of those things, though, where Valley likes to just – Valley plays wild. They're athletic, but they just want to get to the rack and see what happens, right? They're looking for the officials kind of maybe to bail you out a little bit, but that's not specifically this team. That's just how Chad Lance has always, you know, coaches teams. It's like, let's get up and down the floor. Let's play aggressive basketball. Let's try to get to the rim and see what happens. But we've talked about this. This has kind of been a trend for this Benedictine team this year, leaving some free throws on the table, right? And last night, 8 of 15 is just probably not good enough. And I think if you ask Coach Moody, he would tell you the same thing. Like, yeah, wish we would have, you know, not given up so many free throws, but we've got to hit better than 53%.
Right. Hagen Hilgendorf has continued. As he's finally gotten well in the last, you know, 6 weeks, 2 months, certainly in the second semester, he's battling some first semester injuries. He's just continued to get better, and Gus, he continues to impress me. And I think, again, I'm old. I'm accustomed to my post playing in the paint. Okay. I want to see him take 6 5-foot shots. I want layups. I want dunks. Hagen will get you those. He's 9 of 12 last night. But what you also got to understand, he's 4 out of 5 3-point shooting. The 6'9" guy can step back and just rock.
Yeah. And then he pulled down 7 boards, right? You talk about the night, though, that Hagen had, and you couple that with Bryson LaRue's 5 of 7 from behind the arc. So what, those two guys combined for 9 of 12 from behind the arc? That's a pretty good night between those two as Bryson comes in with his 21. But, yeah, Hagen is kind of that matchup nightmare for a lot of teams, right? As coaches go in, they're like, okay, we're going to beat him up at the low block. So what's he going to do? He's going to pull you 28 feet away from the rim and say, play me out here because I'm getting you out of there. I'm getting you out of your comfort zone. I might drive on you, or I'm just going to spot up for a 3 right here. I mean, so he is that player. When he's healthy, he's a force for this team.
You know how hard it is to guard a guy 25 feet off?
Yeah. And
I mean, there's too much room out there.
And the problem is other big guys just don't want to do it, right? I mean, I don't blame them. A nice night for him with those 22.7 rebounds. We talked about Bryson LaRue shooting 5 of 7 from behind the arc. He was 2 of 3 on his free throws. He had, 21 points to go with 4 assists and 3 steals last night. So, again, this team playing well. Just kind of looking for somebody to come off the bench and maybe give them a little more, like, last night, Jack is one of those guys who's a great shooter, but he's exactly that. He's a shooter, right? Like last night, he had 5 points. Saturday afternoon, he could easily lead this team in scoring. I mean, he's just that athletic.
Big night around a conference last night. Mid-America won at Peru. It was Grandview, a 3-point win at William Penn. Culver beats Clark in overtime. It was Graceland at home defending the court against Mount Mercy. Baker gosh, they're just better than I expected them to be. They had a 13-point win over Central Methodist. And, of course, Benedictine with that 2-point nail-biter at home with Missouri Valley. You look around how the conference stand right now, and still perched at the top, it is Mid-America. Somehow, Mid-America's continued to get the wins. They've been some close ones. They've had to battle hard, 15-2, 17-4 in the season. Greystone is 17-5 on the year, 14-4. 14-4 also is Baker, 13-4 Central Methodist, who we're going to see Saturday. So there are some very good men's teams in this conference. Missouri Valley on the verge of double digits in the conference, are 9-8, 10-11 on the year. And 10 wins for Culver, 12 wins for Peru, 10 wins for Grandview. And Benedictine, though, getting better and better now to 8-13. They got a fighting chance, Gus, to get at 500. And that would be delightful. Remember when Coach Anna post game comes up, talks to me, said, and this has been 3 weeks ago, maybe. He said, we're playing so hard, just some things haven't fallen our way. And I'm going to tell you, he said it out loud, we're going to make the tournament. At that time, that was kind of a dicey comment, man. I mean, you know, that was no lock. Looking like that's prophetic.
Starting to look at games that are going to go on around the conference on Saturday. There'll be two early games. It will be Clark at Baker, Mount Mercy at Park. And by the way, how about that? Baker, senior day, because we're kind of to that point.
Yeah. You know what schools learned? Schools have learned don't have senior day on the very last game, because let's say that there's that blizzard of 24 that blows in and you can't have that game, and now it doesn't happen.
It's kind of odd too, but they've all gone to like that Saturday, you know, sometime near the end of the season.
Yes, it's no longer just that final game.
And then in the 4 o'clock slot, you're going to see Central Methodist going to Peru. Missouri Valley will be at William Penn, Benedictine at Culver Stockton, and Grandview making the easy trip down to Mid-America on Saturday at 4 o'clock.
And we look forward to bringing you that Ravens game. We'll be over there at one of your favorite gymnasiums. Isn't it one of your favorite gyms?
I enjoyed the JC, too.
Yeah. The 2.
And can I tell you, they always look at you funny when you call it the 2.
Yeah, the Joe Charles. So anyway, Raven basketball 2-4 on Saturday here on K-Radio. We'll be back. More Sports Look. Okay, we would be remiss if we didn't begin the rapid fire with the matchup for the NFL title game. And the Chiefs were incredible. So many doubters from coast to coast. And I love seeing the map. Who's cheering for Kansas City and who is cheering for Baltimore? Kansas and Missouri were the little red dot in the middle. Everything else was purple. Didn't matter.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of to that point, right? Like, people are tired of seeing the Chiefs, and there are going to be a lot of people that are tired of seeing, you know, this game, right? I was thrilled. I didn't care who the Chiefs played after they won that game against Baltimore, but I really probably would have preferred to see the Lions, just because the Lions were a team you hadn't seen, and the Chiefs just played the 49ers in the championship game a couple of years ago. At the end of the day, though, I mean, we'll get in-depth on this next week. I'm still trying to find an angle that I don't like if you're a Chiefs fan.
You know, if you're a Chiefs fan, you know, you'd like to think you're not looking at it in a jaded way through some rose-colored glasses, but they're just pretty good. Baltimore thought that they were going to steamroll them. It's not what happened. Some of the Chiefs really stepped up big, and I tell you what, if anybody's running harder than Pacheco, I don't know who it is. If anybody's a better game manager than Patrick, I don't know who it is. And MVS came up with the catch. And you know what I really liked? I was laughing as he was catching it because he knew how big it was. He turned around, just anything to make sure I caught it. He could have cut that thing over the shoulder and tried to run.
Yeah.
But it would have been a harder catch. So what do? You square up, you put it in a bread basket, you seal the dub. That's what winning teams do.
Rashee Rice catches that over the shoulder and takes it to the house, right?
That's what
I mean, there are a lot of receivers. Yes. He said, hey, I don't need to score this. I need to catch this.
Okay, some guys would have made the interception in the end zone and tried to run it out.
Yeah.
Smart play. I'm like
now,
yelling
Bush
at my TV.
Now, thought about it.
Can I'm yelling at my TV, and I never do that. I'm like, go down. Stop back there.
He made the interception, and he looked downfield. If he would have had any thought that he could get past Bateman right there at the goal line, I really do think he would have taken it out, right? Because that was only his third play of the game, was an interception of Lamar Jackson. Going back to that Chiefs-Ravens game, if you're Baltimore, you're still sick.
Oh, they're never going to get over this. They'll be talking about this 10 years from now.
This may have been the game for Lamar. And the reason I say that, they're like, well, Lamar's young. He is. He's very young for what draft class he came out in. His money hasn't hit the books. It's going to. You know, I mean, and they've got a lot of defensive guys on the books, too. If you were Lamar, this was your year to do it. You had home field advantage. You had the bye. Patrick coming to your place. Joe Burrow was out for the year. I mean, like, everything matched up. You know what's going to happen next year? Joe Burrow's going to come back. He's going to be healthy. The Bengals are going to be good next year. The Chiefs, they're going to spend a little money. Guess what? They're going to get good next year. And I say that because this was a weak Chiefs team. I mean, in the grand scheme of things, I mean, everybody says, well, your playmakers aren't good enough. That's right. They're not. But your quarterback and coach are probably just that much better than everybody. So I do. I think the Chiefs probably go out here in the offseason. I think they're going to draft a receiver. I also think they're probably going to go out and just throw the bank at T. Higgins and say, hey, come in and be our number one receiver. And he'll say, thank you, and, you know, be a 1,200-yard receiver next year. So I just think for Baltimore, that's the game that you're going to look back on 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and say, man, remember that one team we had? Because, again, I don't care what team you are. If you're a high school team, a college team, a professional team, the team you have now, it's the only time this year is going to be like that, right? We go back to 18 with that Benedictine team, and you say, well, they brought back a lot of pieces in 19. But in 18, you go back to the Grandview game, right? They force the fumble and take it back and score it right there late in the game. Not often does that happen, right? Like, the ball just never bounces the same way. You can't put that team back together. And so maybe that's also kind of segueing into this Chiefs team. It's pretty impressive that they're able to get back after last year.
Why did Lamar not run all day? Why did they try to make him a passer when that's not what he is?
Do you remember last week I talked about it on Sports Look that Mark Andrews coming back to me kind of seemed like a bad idea because he kind of uses Mark Andrews as tight end as a little bit of a crutch and he, you know, I've got to get the ball to Mark Andrews. I think that some of that was the Mark Andrews things. I also think he spent a whole week of listening to everybody say, yeah, but Lamar's still not a quarterback. He's not Patrick. He doesn't throw the ball well enough. And sometimes I think he just gets it into his head on, all right, I'm going to go out there and I'm going to throw the ball and show him who I am. You know what Patrick said? Patrick said, hey, this year, I don't need to go out and throw for 5,000 yards and 50 touchdowns. That's not what this team is. I'm going to go out and hand the ball off to Pacheco because you know what? At the end of the day, three rings is still three rings, right?
And with that defense, you can win with 17 points.
Right. And so I think that that's where Lamar is going to have to get better is understanding that his team needs him to do the things he can do, not listen to the outside noise and prove that he can do other things.
So is he exposed a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit. I think, you know, that's why I say, you know, going back to last offseason, Baltimore gave him that long contract. I don't think they wanted to, but I felt like they just kind of got held over the barrel and felt like they had to do something. So, again, Lamar's a great quarterback, but I just don't think he's good enough. You probably haven't seen the inside the NFL, the mic'd up sideline talk. Odell goes over to him during the game and says, hey, Lamar, you're special when you run. We need you to be special. I don't think he understood that that meant run the ball. And, yeah, I mean, even the one that he took off on the fourth down and he kept looking over his shoulder, I'm like, you're the fastest guy on the field. Just run away from everybody and score that as a 70-yard touchdown run. Instead, he kept looking behind him and then slid down after a run. So, again, at the end of the day, Baltimore was probably the more talented team, but Kansas City was just the team that comes away with a win because they know how to do it.
Other half of the championship game, have the San Francisco 49ers ruined the quarterback market? Have they now proven that you don't need to spend $500 million on a quarterback that will take you to the big game?
No. And I say that because I think Shanahan's just that good of a coach. Like, I think you just throw any guy out there and he's going to be able to make them that good, right? I mean, Matt Ryan was okay, but he got Matt Ryan there. He got Jimmy Garoppolo there. He got Brock Purdy now there. And can I tell you? He's likely to just hit the reset button and say, give me another rookie. I can do it again, because I think he can. People keep talking about, you know, Matt Nagy or so some of these guys when Andy decides to hang it up, which I don't think is this year. I know you hear the rumblings. I think he even said it the other day. I'm old. I'm not that old. I do think that Andy probably stays around for 3 to 5 more years, maybe 6. Depends on if you keep winning.
And he's having some fun, for crying out loud. Why would you walk off?
And so I do think that he's enjoying it. I don't think he goes anywhere. But I also think that if you're Clark Hunt, you're starting to look at Shanahan and say, he's a young guy, really good with quarterbacks. He would have a lot of fun with this quarterback we have. So, again, I just think that, you know, Brock Purdy's good, but I don't know. I just think that it's a lot of Shanahan genius behind it.
And, of course, it's been forever since a Kansas City Chief has played in a Pro Bowl, because they're always busy.
Yeah, they're not really worried about the Pro Bowl or how all of that sets up.
I've never liked the Pro Bowl. I didn't like it when they went to Honolulu. I don't like the new format. I like it less. So, and the Pro Bowl means nothing to me. And I think only thing it means to some of the players is if I am in the Pro Bowl, there's an incentive that I just earned.
Yeah, you get a little probably extra check, somewhat of a boost. But I'm coming to tell you, Brock Purdy is okay not playing in this thing. I think Travis Kelce is okay not playing in this thing. Patrick doesn't want to play in this thing, but Tua will be in this thing, so that's good for him. I also think that, what is it? There's like all kinds of games going on this week with the Pro Bowl. There's a flag. The game is actually a flag football game, but there's also a skills competition. I just think they're trying to come up with things to make it interesting. Yeah, tonight at 7 o'clock is the Pro Bowl Skills Challenge. You're going to have precision passing, best catch, closest to the pin. It's a golf accuracy competition. High stakes, you're going to have dodgeball, and long snappers will also have their skill snapping the ball at different targets.
Well, that's all
I'm telling
delightful.
You, they're just trying. It's not interesting. I won't tune it in for even a second.
Here's what's interesting. NCAA basketball, and I look at the top. I don't even know these people. I mean, who's the Huskies? Not the good Huskies. The East Coast Huskies on the top of this thing. Never saw that coming.
Well, what? They're the reigning national champion, and they brought back enough pieces. So, again, they're one of those teams that are playing good enough, but do you really buy into them? And especially if they get into a, hold on, if they find themselves, you know, as a high seed, right? They're better off when they kind of come through the field as a 4 or 5, but them being a 1, they could be another one of those early out type teams.
Yeah.
Purdue is 2.
Playing that conference schedule, though, come on.
Yeah, and what, North Carolina lost the other day at home to Georgia Tech. I think that's an interesting one. Houston.
There you go.
Is at 4. They have, you'll also understand that Houston is the only other team that received a top 25 vote outside of UConn, Purdue, and then Houston got one of those votes, which tells me somebody thinks a lot of Houston. Kansas has fallen all the way to 8 at 16-4. There are some just really good teams, not only in the top 25, but in the Big 12.
Okay, the biggest jump, by the way, in the poll, because we got to tip our hat to our pal, the Badgers. They're all the way up now to number 6. They took a 7-spot jump.
Yeah, Wisconsin playing really good basketball right now, right? Early on in the season, everybody's like, they're not very good. And then they just keep winning. They find themselves right now at 16-4. They're the number 6 team in the country, ahead of teams like Duke, Kansas, Marquette, Kentucky, Arizona. Those are basketball schools.
Yeah, and one other school I want to we'll talk quickly Big 12, but Creighton, 13. Gotta love that, right?
Yeah, Creighton playing
really good. Isn't that not the smallest school in this whole, in the whole top 25?
Yeah, probably true. How about you look at the remaining schedule for Kansas? Okay. Kansas is going to be home on Saturday with Houston, at Kansas State, home with number 18 Baylor, at number 15 Texas Tech, at number 23 Oklahoma, home with number 22 BYU. Then they're going to get Baylor and Houston and K-State to end the season. I mean, that is a road if there ever was one.
Yeah, if you don't end up in the top 15 with that schedule, it can't be a surprise, because there can't be a harder schedule.
No, I mean, I'm sure there's not a harder schedule. And is there a harder conference in the Big 12 right now? I mean,
oh, it is. Did somebody ever tell you it's a basketball conference?
There was.
Did you know that?
There was a guy one time.
You heard that, baby?
That.
Now, let's talk about Kansas State. As the season started off, man, I had high hopes for them, thought that they were really playing well, and they've kind of hit a tough stretch.
Yeah, well, they just ran into what is the conference, right? Kansas State right now on a three-game losing streak. They struggle a little away from home. They're 2-3 on the road. They are 10-2 at home. They're 14-7 overall, but only .500 in the conference.
All those that went losing streak, by the way, not close. They have 20-point losses, and all of them have been double-digit losses.
Yeah, you lost to Houston by 22. You lost the other night at home against Oklahoma by 20 at 73-53. You're going to go to Oklahoma State, and I know Oklahoma State's not good this year, but playing at Gallagher, Iowa is always a little difficult. You're going to turn around and get Kansas, BYU, and TCU in your next three games. So it's going to be an uphill battle for Coach Tang and his crew going forward.
And again,
right now they find themselves seventh in the Big 12.
But when I look at the Big 12, I still am struggling when I see UCF, Cincinnati, BYU. It just is. I'm not used to them. I'm still trying to assimilate these new teams. Houston, of course, what an addition.
What about next year? You're going to add Arizona, Arizona State, and Colorado. I mean, like, Arizona has always been a great basketball school, but right now you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams in the top 25 in the conference.
Tell you what, we've got some great teams around here we're going to be following, and the sports schedule jammed up. All right, here we go. Tomorrow night, Jefferson County North at Marhill Mount Academy. Saturday, Benedictine at Culver, Stockton at 2-4 in the afternoon. Next Tuesday, Marhill Mount Academy again, this time at Oskaloosa. And next Wednesday, before we get back for the next sports look, Benedictine at home again with Mid-America again. Three home dates remaining. Get up there. Watch the Ravens. We want to thank Hamada Wealth Management, Gerber Electric, High Voltage Bar and Dance, and Exchange Bank, our sports look sponsors. Till we greet you next time. For Gus Couch, Tom Couch. So long, everybody.